All right, we'll have Brother Bain come and get your Bibles ready, and we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight.
All right, it's good to be back this evening. Now, I'll ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 41. We'll go back to that text tonight and see what the Lord has to say to us. And blessing to be here, and thank God for His good mercy and His grace to us. And we're looking forward to the week and encourage you to continue to invite folk out. And we'll have a gospel message every night. And depends on wherever we preach, we'll always run back to Calvary throughout the Word of God. It's all about Him and all about what He's done upon the cross for us. All right, tonight in Isaiah 41 in verse number 10, the Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now, I want you to do me a favor tonight. I want you to read out loud with me. Let's reread this verse, and let's read it out loud together. We'll start there in verse number 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Our Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus as it goes out, whatever venue it takes. We ask you to use it to encourage hearts. And Lord, minister to those that love you. Lord, be one in our midst of the hearing of the word, that conviction would fall on their soul if they're lost, that they might be drawn by divine power to a full revelation and understanding that you are the Son of God, that you came down to take on flesh, and Lord, you died for us on the cross, rose from the dead, and send it on high and ready to receive them that'll come to you by faith. Lord, I pray for liberty and grace to preach now, and may it not just be a lecture tonight, but may the Word of God go forth and may it do that work in our heart that only you can. Severally divided as you will, we're depending on you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah has often been called a miniature Bible. For as the Bible has 66 books, Isaiah has 66 chapters. And as the Word of God is divided into Old Testament and New Testament, Isaiah is divided into the first 39 chapters and then chapter 40 through chapter number 66. And we find that the first part deals with a lot of chastisement, rebuke, and judgment that is coming on Israel because they've sinned against God. And the Lord warns them that He will take them into chastisement and Babylonian captivity. Chapter number 40 through chapter number 66, the tone of Isaiah changes, and it becomes full of promises and encouragements for those that are in captivity. And they'll be there for 70 years, and they're going to need a lot of promises and a lot of encouragement as they're there. And the Lord gives them that word. He starts out in chapter 40 in verse number 1, saying, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And we can find all kind of comfort in the promises of God and all kind of comfort in the Word of God. And if you look for comfort in this world, you're not going to find it. But if you'll turn your faith and your eyes upon His Word and glean in His promise and receive from Him, then you'll get the encouragement and the comfort that you need. Now, one of these great promises is in Isaiah 40 and verse number 10. And by the way, I'm not going to let the hyper-dispensationalist rip these verses out of my hand and say you can't claim them. I hear people say, well, you can't claim any but the epistle promises of today. But I beg your pardon. I believe in the whole Bible for the whole man. And there's a rightly dividing of the Word of God. And as Brother Bobby played his guitar and he used all six strings, I believe we're to use all 66 strings in this harp that God has given us called His Word. And you'll find there's harmony from Genesis to Revelation all the way through. And you'll find in these promises that are written like this one tonight, everything here is repeated in the New Testament over and over again. But there are divine casks and divine settings of truth that are put in these promises. And Peter says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature. And the writers of the New Testament refer to the scriptures. Jesus revealed to those on the road to Emmaus those things that were written about him. And the New Testament wasn't even written at that time. So he goes back into the Old Testament and it's embedded there, and then it's unfolded in the New Testament. But this verse that I read to you is a exceeding great and precious promises that can be applied to all God's children. And I want to look in verse number 10 at these seven different statements and preach on the thought, a sevenfold promise for the weak. Now, if you can spell that W-E-E-K and take a part of this promise for every day of the week, or you can spell it W-E-A-K and know that when we're weak, God has this precious promise for us to put down as a foundation and a fabric for our soul. Notice the first phrase. He says, fear thou not. I see in this a word of comfort. The phrase fear not is over 300 times throughout the Word of God. The Lord wants His people not to live in fear. And I know during this COVID business, there's a lot of folk that dropped into fear, and many people got out of church during that time, and they're afraid to come back to church. They're afraid to shake hands or have somebody breathe. But you only catch it at church. You don't catch it at Walmart, and you don't catch it at Home Depot, or you don't catch it at school or at the job. You just catch it at church, you know. But the devil will paint that scarecrow out, and he'll hang it out, and people get afraid. And there's a lot of things in these days to fear. And the Lord said, when you see all these things come on you, He said, you lift your head up, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's a lot of people afraid right now because Monday is going to come the great eclipse. And you know, they're seeing things that Jesus said would come to pass just prior to His coming. One of them is earthquakes in divers places. And we've just had an earthquake up in New York. We had one recently in California. There was one in Indonesia. There's one over there in Pakistan, killed a lot of people. And these earthquakes are in diverse places. That means different places. And they are happening. And you can get on your phone, on your apps, you can get the earthquake app. I had that on my phone for a little while, and I just took it off because, man, there's so many earthquakes, it's just every little bit that it's sending another signal, another earthquake. And the Lord said, earthquakes in divers places. He said, wars and rumors of wars. He spoke about the moon being turned to blood. We've had more blood moons in the past little bit than I've ever known in my lifetime. And it'd be amazing to compare how many blood moons there's been now in relationship than days gone by. He talked about how it would be as it was in the days of Lot. The days of Lot were sodomy, and that's where we get the word from, and all the barbaric perversions of the flesh. And we're seeing that from the White House down to the gutter, all across not only in America, but literally around the world. And then he talks about the sun being turned black as sackcloth of ashes, and all of these things. And you know, I'm not a date setter at all. But I do have my eyes open, and I will look in 2 Timothy, and I see perilous times will come, and he lists what's going to happen. And in Matthew 24, he lists what's going to happen, and he speaks of Israel being in the forefront of prophecies and all of those things. And right there, Israel is. And he tells us that all nations are going to turn on Israel. And right now, we have got a president in our nation that's tottering over turning on Israel because they're going in there to wipe out this Hamas crowd. And bombs flying, innocent people get killed, especially when Hamas is throwing them out there in the front and using them as human shields. But we know something's going to happen, and Iran pulls a good one on Israel. Israel will nuke them in the morning after they nuke them. All nations will turn on Israel, just like God said.
He spoke of the prophecy of the Russian bear coming down, Gog and Magog. And if you study that ancient prophecy, it has to do with coming down on Ukraine. And not all of Ukraine, but just part of Ukraine. And all of this is being fulfilled right on down the line. But as a result, there are a lot of folk that are living in fear today. They're fearing the coming of the Lord. Brother Bobby, were you fearful when I came this way and I called you and I said, I'm almost here? Did that bring fear to you? Well, I was hoping it would bring comfort to you.
I thought you were going to be late.
No, not be late, but did it bring comfort to you that I said, hey, I'm coming, and I came? Well, I'm going to tell you, it brings comfort to me to know the Lord said, I'm coming back. If you love Him and you look for His appearing, you say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I've been waiting on you a long time. Just come on. That takes the fear right out. I'm right with God. I'm ready to go. I'm not afraid of His coming. Oh, I know it'd be a fearful thing to stand before God and give an account, but I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus appears and He takes us out of here as God's people. But notice the first word is a word of comfort, fear thou not. Now, why would Israel fear? Well, they would fear politically. Babylon's coming after them. Nebuchadnezzar's going to come get them. And when they're taken away, like Daniel and the children of Israel, Nehemiah and Ezra and all the rest of these folk, they're going into another realm where the politics is totally changed. No longer will it be kings that were supposed to write a copy of the Word of God by hand before they ever reigned and rule according to the Word of God, but they're going into Babylon, the Assyrians, all of those, they have no consciousness of God, they have no concept of God. Politically, they're a bunch of barbarians. Politically, they have no fear of God whatsoever. And when they think about the politics of the day, it brought fear. I think about the politics of this day, it brings fear to a lot of people. And we know that things are changing, not only in America, but all around this world. And we know the 10 toes are going to come together, and these amalgamated forces are going to come together. They'll elect Mr. Antichrist when the church is taken out of here. We know that that's got to come to pass, but it does not make me happy when I see all the garbage that's being passed and all the things that are being done. But you know what? I'm not fearing politically, because I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know the one who rules over them all. And principalities, powers of the air, they're all subject to Him. And He is above them all. And He's called the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we realize He's going to orchestrate things, and He's going to put the platform up. And these kings and presidents and congressmen and senators and all of these folk around the world, they think they're running things, but they're nothing more than pawns in the hand of God. If I thought tonight that Joe Biden had all power in heaven and earth, I could not sleep a wink. But because I know Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and in earth, then let Him do what He wants to do, or whoever's behind Him do what they want to do. And I'm not going to worry about it, because there's somebody above Him, and that's my King. That's my Lord. That's the one ruling and reigning over all things. They may have feared domestically. Boy, here we are in Babylon. How will we raise children? I mean, they're putting our best sons in their school and brainwashing them with their philosophies and all of their scientists and all their arts and stuff. And how will we raise kids in this hour? And yet you find out there were some that were raised in a proper manner, and God protected them, those young men, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel, they all came through there and God used them. And you know, a lot of couples today are afraid to have children. They say it's just too wicked, it's just too bad. I'm glad that Jochebed and Amram didn't think that. They went ahead and had baby boys and a girl, two baby boys and a girl. Even when the law was, if you have a baby boy, throw him to the crocodiles. Only Egyptians can have babies. Well, they didn't believe that. They protected, and Moses came out of that. Aaron came out of it. And Miriam came out of it, because they were brave enough to have children and say, hey, God's going to give us grace to raise them in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you know, I've heard this said many a time. It's not me I fear for, it's my grandchildren and what they're going to have to face. And we do to a degree, and then in another way we say, hey, if God brought others through, He'll bring them through. And if God helped them, He will help us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then I think about financially how Israel may have feared going into captivity. Yeah, we'll work real hard, but we're going to pour it all into the king's coffers. He's going to tax us to death. And everything we made is going to be poured into Him. And how will we survive financially? And if we do get out of here, how are we going to go back and buy land and buy horses and farming implements and all? How are we going to make it financially? And they would have feared, but you know, I don't have to fear financially. Our brother was talking about how God took care of him in many different ways. I thought of George Whitefield. George Whitefield was that great English evangelist that made, I think, 11 trips across the ocean to come preach to America. And we saw the great awakening through his ministry. And one day George Whitefield was riding his horse going from one place to another. And he'd had an offering give to him from a church. And as he rode down the road, this highwayman stopped him and pulled his pistol out and said, "Give me all your money." He said, "Matter of fact, just put it in your coat pocket and give me your coat. You take my coat." He took Whitfield's coat and his money and throwed his old wore out coat on him. And Whitfield put it on and took off toward the town he was going. He got several miles down the way and he looked back. Here come that highwayman after him. And he was just galloping and whipping his horse hard as he could. Well, Whitfield whipped his horse and took off and went into that village. And when he did, that outlaw just done this and turned around and ran off. Well, Whitfield knew that he didn't have any money. He'd been robbed. So he was going to a local place to stay, and he thought, maybe they'll let me stay. And he reached in his pocket, and lo and behold, both pockets were slapped full of money. That guy had robbed people and filled his pockets full of money and throwed him his coat and forgot all about it. Hallelujah. And so old Whitfield said, "Praise God, God supplies. Amen." Well, I want to tell you, friend, God's able to do that. We had a situation this just a few weeks ago where I sent $3,000 down to the Amazon to help build onto the back of a church. And this, the Lord is my witness. I put that check there to the mail, and I got the mail out and I opened it up. And there was a guy sent me a $3,000 check in the incoming mail as we were sending one out in the outgoing mail. Ask God. Amen. I just said, "Well, Lord, hallelujah. You're able to make the big circuit." And He does. But why fear financial? Well, Social Security. Well, God was around before Social Security. The Lord's going to take care of you. You keep your eyes on Him. I look around tonight, and there ain't many of us starving to death. The evidence is there. You can't hide it. Amen. In other words, God's taking care of us, and He will. Fear thou not financially. Then I think about spiritually. Well, they may have thought, well, has God forsaken Israel? Will we ever be a nation again? We've been here for 30, 40 years. And as the Lord, will He ever turn to us again? But then old brother Jeremiah's word comes through and says it'll be 70 years and then you'll be out of here. And you know, we wonder sometimes, will God breathe on America again? Is she done for? Is it over with? We don't know if there'll ever be another national revival, but there's a possibility of another national revival. God can bring us to our knees in a hurry. And regardless of what others do, you spiritually do not have to die. You can have a personal revival, even in this meeting, and a word of encouragement. And then I see not only a word of comfort, fear thou not, but number two, I see a word of companionship. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Now notice the foundation of this word, for. Why do we not fear? Because we're big, bold, brash. We're strong. We're he-man, he-woman. No. The reason we don't fear is, "For I am with thee." Emmanuel is His name, God with us. And since the Lord is with us, what do we have to fear? The psalmist said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And God promised that he would be with us all the way, even to the end of the world. You say, is that as far as it's going? No, then we'll be with him. It's one thing for him to be with me. It's another thing when I get to go home and be with him, hallelujah. But his presence is not going to change. And he gave us the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, years ago, they backmasked rock and roll music and found hidden lyrics in it. You could turn a record backward and it would spit out satanic lyrics, literally. Well, that verse, you can backmask it. And you know what? It's as good forward as it is backwards. Thee leave nor thee forsake, never will I. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that tells me coming or going, praise God, he's going to be with us. And how are you going to leave somebody that won't leave you? I tell you what, he's going to follow us all the way. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. A word of companionship. Then number three, look at this word of confidence. He said, be not dismayed. Now the word dismayed, it means to be confounded. It means to be confused. I don't know if you folk have this saying out here in Kansas or not, do you? Looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. You ever heard that phrase? You ever watched a dog or a cat, something new, and they'll start craning their head and looking at it like that in confusing, or maybe even a chicken or a bird will do that? Well, that's what that word dismayed means. It means you're looking at it and thinking, what in the world? I'm confused by this. And Israel had plenty of reasons to be confused. And you'll have reasons to be confused. And a lot of folk, when things happen they can't figure out, they just throw their hands up and want to run off and they want to quit. Why'd that happen? That shouldn't have happened. Instead of just committing it unto the Lord. You don't have to be confused. Now, Job's wife got dismayed. She saw 10 fresh dug graves on the hill. She saw her husband with sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. She looked out and saw their businesses were destroyed and gone. They were in complete devastation. And she knew her husband did nothing but serve God and love Jesus. And so she just looked at her husband and said, Job, just curse God and die. Get out of this. Job looked at her and said, you've been dismayed. He didn't say that, but that's what he meant. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, God is sovereign. And if he's in the business of giving, or if he wants to take, it all belongs to him anyhow, and I belong to him. And so he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now the devil had put a contest down and said, if I just take this away or that way, Job will curse you. And I'm sure old Slewfoot had his ear tuned up to hear what Job was going to say when his wife tempted him with that. But he lifted up his head out of that ash pile and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm sure the devil went, I wasn't expecting that. Thank God for people that praise him when it's going right, and they praise him when it's going wrong. And sometimes you just got to say, praise God anyhow, and glory to the Lord anyhow. He said, but be not dismayed. Don't let the devil lick the red off your candy. Well, you know, I was in a church and I had a preacher do this, or somebody said this, or the deacon did that, or, you know, this happened, or that boss man gave that drunk the promotion and I should have got it, and he never was faithful and I was faithful. I'm confused, but don't be dismayed. Commit your way to the Lord. Know that God has a greater plan than we can ever imagine. We're seeing just little bits and specks, but wait till we get up in heaven. And the Lord says, now, you look over this roadmap. I want to show you some things. And as he maps it all out and he sees what he brought you from and what he brought you to and what he did and all that, you're going to say, oh, my. How many times have our children questioned our judgment as parents? Whenever they think about the next step, you've already thought about 3 steps ahead. And you did what you did for a purpose and a reason. And I've got a young son, he's a special needs boy, and he's a worry wart, my soul. And I don't know at the times that I've looked at old Coulter and I've said, Coulter, you be the little boy and let me be the big daddy and everything will be all right. And I think a lot of times God looks at me and says, Randy, You be the little boy. I'll be the heavenly father. You just trust me. Everything will work out eventually in the end to my glory and for your good, though you may not see it right now. Amen. Then we see another word. This is the word of confirmation. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Boy, what a word of confirmation. I am thy God. You ever heard that name, I am, before? Exodus chapter number 3. Moses, he's tried to deliver Israel. Man, he took an Egyptian and he killed him and hid him in the sand and said, one down, 1.5 million to go. I'll get them one at a time. God by my hand, the Bible said, Moses thought, will deliver Israel. Well, all that did was got him told on, and he fled to the backside of the desert, and for 40 years he learned that he couldn't do it by the power of the flesh. But one day he's looking up and sees a burning bush, and it's not consumed. It continues to burn. And so he turned aside to see that great sight, and as he approached it, it was God in a flame of fire. He said, Moses, draw not nigh hither, pull off thy shoes from off thy feet. The ground on which you stand is holy ground. And Moses bowed before the Lord. God said, now I'll send thee unto Pharaoh. You're going to deliver my people. And Moses said, I can't even talk. Not only that, I don't even know your name. God said, here's my name. I am that I am. Boy, that's simple, isn't it? Time I say I am, I was. Amen. And I can't say I will be till I get there, and I never do get there. I'm always stuck right now. But God is I am. I am eternally self-existent, in need of nothing, in need of nobody. He's the one that has everything that you and I need. And he said, I'm going to send Aaron down there with you. He'll be your associate pastor. And if you have to speak, you speak through him. Aaron never got to preach. How about that? God fixed old Moses up with a dried up stick in the name I am, defied the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and led God's children out with I am. You know what the Lord says to me and you? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Folks, we've got a God. He's not an idol, neither is God idol. He's God, and besides him there is none else. One fellow writing to another in Reformation Day said, sir, your problem is your thoughts of God are too small. He tells us in the Psalms, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thou art, so repent lest I tear thee to pieces. God's not like you, and God's not like me. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so is God's thoughts higher than our thoughts. God's ways are greater than our ways. And we can't imagine the glory and the wonder and the power and the dominion and the honor and the majesty of who our God is. But we bow down before Him and we worship Him. We've got a God, hallelujah. And He's a real God. He's eternal God. He's the Lord of creation. He's the Lord above all. The Lord said, you don't have to fear because I am thy God. Then I want you to look fifthly at a word of courage. He says, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. God said, I'm going to give you strength in Babylonian captivity. I'm going to give you strength after you get out of there. As your days, so shall your strength be. You know, it says about Moses that when he died, that he was as strong in his old age as he was in his young age. I've often thought, is that physical? Or did God mean spiritual? Because he learned his strength was in the Lord as a young man. And now as an old man, when he dies, guess what? He's still dependent on that same strength. And that is the power of Almighty God. And the Lord said, I will strengthen you. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Preacher, I don't know if I can give somebody a tract and invite them to church. God will strengthen you. Preacher, I don't know if I can come every night. You pray, God will strengthen you. Preacher, I don't know if I... It's not you, it's Him. And if you look to Him and rest in Him, He'll give you the strength, the grace, and the help that you need to do just what you need for whatever He wants you to do. Hallelujah. And then not only a word of courage, but look at a word of compassion. He says, I will help thee. Now, yea, I will help thee. God's getting excited about this. Yea, I'll strengthen thee. Yea, I'll help thee. Now, being strengthened is one thing. Being helped is another thing. When David went down in the valley and faced Goliath, he said, the Lord will give you into my hand. And God strengthened him, and he slew Goliath, and a great upheaval of the army of Israel and a revival in the land of Israel took place. But later on in his old years, they were going out to fight some giants again. David said, I want to go. And they said, no, you're an old king. You don't need to be out here fighting. We'll take the fight to them. You just stay. He said, no, I'm going with you. So they rolled him out there on his wheelchair and his walker and all the rest of it. And old David's out there. And you know, the older he got, the better he was in his own mind. And he thought, I can do what I did when I was a young fella. And so he got out there, and lo and behold, here comes one of Goliath's cousins, a great giant, and picked David out, saw who he was, and jumped on him and knocked him to the ground and had him held down to the ground and was fixing to take his spear and ram it through his heart. And David cried out, help! And the Bible said, and this is the first time it's mentioned, that Abishai's mighty man succored him. You ever heard of a sucker punch? I was in a fight in the playground one time, and this boy's big brother come up behind me, and boy, he sucker punched me, hit me, and nearly knocked me out. Well, when David cried out, help, that old giant is fixing to kill him, and all of a sudden, boy, his head was severed from his body, and oh, Abishai suckered him. That means run when called for. Over in the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus will succor them that call on him. He'll run when called for. He'll give you the help that you need. And there's sometimes he gives me strength and power. There's other times that, boy, I'm weak and I'm falling on my face, and I just have to say, help, Lord. And you know what the Lord promised me? He said, yea, I will help thee. And I don't know where you need help tonight, but if you'll call on him, believe his promise, he said, I will help thee. And then I want you to look lastly, he says, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's a word of continuation. Yea, God's excited about this. I will, not I might. But he said, I will. I'm going to do this. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. The blessed promise is, and again we go to the New Testament, book of Philippians chapter 1, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to bring us halfway and then drop us and leave us flopping. If he hath saved you, he's going to go with you how far? All the way, even to the end of the world. And he said, my sheep, he said, they know my voice. And he said, they're in my hand and I'm in the Father's hand. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand which gave them me. My Father is greater than them all. He's going to go with us all the way to the end. I know I asked Brother John McCormick a few weeks before he died, an old notable man of God. I was preaching with him in a meeting. And I went over to his hotel room and I asked him, I said, Brother John, does it get any easier the older you get? He looked at me and horse-laughed me. I said, what? He said, son, you're going to have to battle till the day you die. I said, you're an encouragement. Amen. But that's the truth. Till this robe of flesh we drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize, we're going to have to battle. But you know what he said? As I was with you in your youth, I'll be with you in your middle age, and I'll be with you in your old age. One of my former pastors, Ray Aiken, he wrote a song. He's the God of all ages. And in that song, he talks about how when you are young and you're living for God, he'll be with you. You get married and have children in middle age, then he'll be with you there. But when you're old and gray-headed and stooped over and can't hardly see, he'll be with you there. He's the God of all ages. And people talk about youth meetings and youth this, youth that. Praise God, we need some elderly this and the elderly that. And the elderly needs encouragement and edifying. And praise God, I hope that you'll get a little out of this promise tonight. He says, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. How? With the right hand of my righteousness. That right hand is the hand of power. It's the hand that formed man. It's the hand that spun the earth in existence. It is the hand that holds all things. And he said, by that hand, I'm going to uphold you, and I'll be with you all the way. Hallelujah. Look down there at your Bible again, will you? Look at verse number 10. I want you to read this verse with me. And I hope that you'll put this away in your memory if you haven't already done that. Memorize it. Let's read it together out loud. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And all God's people said,
Amen.